Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast. Hey, we did week to week. Look at that.
Whoa, all right, yeah.
A little bit of normalcy, which is welcome. Welcome right now.
It's what we strive for our podcast to be a regular, but also for there to be regular three inning saves across Major League Baseball. So we need cooperation on that end. But you know what?
I think if the Rays will keep bringing in people, they'll eventually DFA and we'll be fine. So
I think so. We have a lot to talk about on this episode. I believe we're going to discuss the entirety of the Dylan Coby era. And it's just one of the weirdest weeks I can remember. Like, not egregiously like bad or good, just weird.
And
like
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I was able to make it. I'm still in the middle of a lot of life stuff. You got to catch me up. I have some sort of around the edges knowledge of what happened, but I'm excited to get the details from you. I'm gonna call you. You're our expert.
Whoa!
There you go.
A lot to live up to.
We're gonna do that, and then we have questions from Craig. But yeah, we don't have time for anything else. You just got to catch us up, and it's gonna take probably 4 hours, but it'll be fine. We'll be there after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So as a loyal reader, I was checking truebluela.com the other day and saw that you, Bobby Miller's coming up?
It looks like it. Before we get into that, obviously important news, just because I noted it before the break. Josh Winkowski on the Red Sox on Friday recorded a three-inning save, so I just want to make sure we got that on the record. Red Sox against the Padres, so that was a 6-1 game. So it wasn't like the kind I prefer, the very weird game in a blowout. But that's good. So anyway, that's three-inning save. Perhaps if on Tuesday the Dodgers might get a three-inning save if they build a large lead with Bobby Miller on the mound.
Yeah. So I, real quick, now that you've got my money, have you looked up ever the most earned runs allowed in a save? So presumably the three inning variety.
I'm certain I have. I have no recollection of who actually it is.
I think I just asked for next week's trivia question, which is going to be impossible, but we'll have fun.
There's been a lot, like, cause I think I wrote about it. I wrote last year about like my love of a three inning save, and I'm fairly certain I went deep into like, well, then there's this guy who gave up, you know, like this, and then, but I have no recollection of who it actually was. So,
All right. So, yeah, catch me up. Just read the transaction report in the most deadpan voice.
If I was just saying, we could have, I texted you earlier in the week, we could just do the podcast and it's just reading the roster moves for the week and we'd get into about roughly an hour. Like,
done.
So we're recording on a Sunday. The Dodgers just played a series in St. Louis. They are in Atlanta now, about to play three games against the Braves. And the first two games of that series are going to be started by Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller, their top two pitching prospects. So obviously, very important time for the organization. Everything must be going swimmingly. it's been a very weird, a very odd week. So just the bigger sort of things, I did a solo episode, sorry, Jacob, earlier in the week when Dustin May injured his elbow. He left his Wednesday start after one inning. They said flexor pronator strain, and then they put him on the injury list with a right forearm strain. It's all related. Bottom line is he's going to be out a long time, like a month, 4 to 6 weeks at minimum. Would imagine it might be longer. He's getting a PRP injection, so he's a long-term, he's going to be missing for a while. Then the next day, that was Wednesday, and then on Thursday, Julio Urias allowed 4 home runs in an inning, tying a Dodger record. We'll get into that. But 2 days later, he landed on the injured list with a strained hamstring. So he's more of a short-term thing, but the bottom line is the Dodgers have 2 holes in their starting rotation. And so Gavin Stone is going to come up Monday to fill in for May. He's going to fill in for May's spot for a while. Like he's been doing well in AAA. He was kind of shaky in his major league debut, but it was understandable. But he's been looking better. Bobby Miller had shoulder soreness in spring. He didn't pitch at all in spring training. And then he was a late start to the AAA season. Kind of uneven over his first 3 starts. He had a good start last week, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 run. But I think in a normal situation, they wouldn't want to necessarily rush him right now. Let's get him a little more removed from shoulder soreness, that sort of a thing. But they're kind of at a point where they almost don't have a choice. Everyone else is just either unavailable or maybe not as feasible. There was some thought that they could dip into the group at Double A, because pretty much the entire Double A Tulsa rotation is has a 1 ERA or 1 something ERA. They've just been lights out. Now obviously the jump from Double A to the majors and who knows what this, but I think as long as whatever they've seen from Miller, they're clearly on board with. So I'm sure they're not going to put him in harm's way. So those two guys are going to start Monday, Tuesday in Atlanta. How long Miller goes, not sure. Because Urias is probably not going to miss more than 2 starts, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Miller starts. They also have an off day on Thursday coming. So I don't know if it's Miller starts Tuesday. They do the option him, bring a reliever up, and then figure out the other start later, that kind of a thing. But doing that sort of kicking the can and figuring out we just need a new guy today kind of thing, that was pretty much this entire last week for the Dodgers. Now, I know you've obviously been busy, but sort of watching from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of the Monday game last week against the Twins, I believe I dubbed it the Phil Bickford game.
I did. I actually watched the entirety of Phil Bickford coming out. It was my first day home, I think. Maybe that's not right. The point being, there was a reason why I was up and in front of a TV and needing to go to bed early. I remember that. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is great. It seems to be ending nice and on time. And then, extra innings and all that.
There was a couple long nights in a row there just from that. That was a long game in general, but then it was just a lot of writing too. I have a much worse situation. No, it's not that. It's that was just a very weird and long night, and it sort of felt we only had, I think, two relievers were down that night. I believe it was Evan Phillips and Bruiser Gratterall. Oh, no, Phillips gave up a run. It was Gratterall and someone else. I forgot who was down. But they even had Bruiser Gratterall warming up in the 12th in case the game went to 13. And luckily it did not. But that sort of chaotic energy has kind of lasted all week because they haven't been able to sort of catch up from the like just sort of being behind the eight ball on the pitching side. So that game was, if you remember, it started with Noah Syndergaard, who was coming off of his like finger blister, like rupturing and having the nastiest like hole in his finger bleeding all over the ball in Milwaukee. So he had only pitched an inning in the previous 2 weeks because they skipped him for the first Padres series, and then they reshuffled the rotation. So they didn't expect much out of him. He went four innings that day. So the Dodgers had to cover eight innings in the bullpen. And then Tuesday comes around. They actually – so Dylan Covey, we mentioned him at the top, he was in the clubhouse Tuesday. But he was just on the taxi. They actually didn't add anyone Tuesday. They just sort of winged it. And then they had Kershaw going. And if you remember the week before in Milwaukee, they were in like a similar situation right after the one-inning Syndergaard start. And they decided not to call someone up that day. And then they just like, Clayton, we need you to go long. And he did. He went seven innings. This time on Tuesday, he only went four. Now, obviously – you know, we talked about this last week. That was also his first start after his mom died. Dave Roberts, after the game Tuesday, said Clayton Kershaw, he seemed like more agitated on the mound. Like he had a three disengagement balk called on him, like for throwing over. Just seemed kind of out of sorts a little bit. He was getting strikeouts, but he was also laboring. He threw 90 pitches in four innings. Skipping ahead a little bit to Sunday, he was also laboring on Sunday. He didn't get out of the fourth, about 95 pitches and 3 2/3. So Roberts, after the game Sunday, said Kershaw was feeling some body fatigue his last two starts, so he's just kind of tired. Now, he also said Kershaw is going to go on bereavement leave when the Dodgers are in Atlanta. He is going to start next Saturday in Tampa Bay. So I think maybe this is a thing where he's just been, like we mentioned earlier in the season, like he led the National League in innings in April. And I would not have expected that from him, given like his workload the last few years. So maybe that's catching up to him a little bit. But anyway, so he goes four innings. So they have to cover, you know, five innings. The bullpen has to cover five innings that game. They go into Wednesday. Oh, by the way, how they covered that two innings, it was basically using three tired relievers. And then at the end, they used Justin Brule pitching for his third straight day. They asked him to go two innings on his third straight day. Depending on how old you are and how you like sort of watch baseball, that's not that uncommon. And it's hard to avoid over a long season, but the Dodgers have generally rarely pitched someone on three straight days. Like I think Bruiser Gratterall did it earlier this year. Those were the only two, him and Brule. So it was just a rough situation. So they kind of asked him to wear it for the last two innings on that Tuesday game. And then because baseball is cruel, he got optioned on Wednesday to make room for Dylan Covey as the new fresh arm. Covey was a starter in AAA. They probably needed some bulk relief at some point, they thought. And then immediately Dustin May goes out after one inning with a hurt elbow. So they're playing like scramble mode, scramble mode, scramble mode. Covey goes four plus innings in relief on Wednesday. Then he gets designated for assignment Thursday because they brought up Andre Jackson as the new long guy. Jackson goes 3 1/3 Thursday, and then they option him on Friday. So they're just it's not only the Dylan Covey era, it's the Tyler Sear era. They brought him up. He's still around. Wander Suero came up Saturday when Urias went on the injured list. And then they even brought Brule back like the day after they optioned him on Thursday because May went on the injured list. So it allowed that to happen. So it's just been like a revolving door, and then just trying to figure out who's getting the innings. Noah Syndergaard, Tony Gonsolin Friday went five scoreless. Noah Syndergaard Saturday went five innings. Those are the two longest starts in the last 7 days for the Dodgers. They Dodger starters for this week averaged 3 2/3 innings, and they went from the Monday game through Thursday. The starters went 4-4-1-3 innings, and that's their longest streak of not going more than four innings, or the Dodgers having a starter not going more than four innings for four straight games. They've done it like five times as LA Dodgers team. There was a Brooklyn team in 1942 that did it five straight. So like, it's uncharted territory to like tax your bullpen like that heavily in such a short amount of time. So that's kind of where they're at. Now, that said, like, you would think in hearing that, like, are they on a 7-game losing streak or something like that? But no, they went 3-4, and they only went 3-4 because they lost the last two in St. Louis. So, I mean, they're just trying to get by at this point, right? Like, they're just doing their best, and it's been a very, very, like, sort of trying, taxing, however you want to call it. Just been a weird week.
I'd love to hear more positives about the week, unless you still have some weird stuff to tack on.
Yeah, so I mentioned the Urias allowing four home runs. So he's actually tied for the major league lead in home runs allowed on the season, which has been a.
I was going to try to jump on it where you just said leads in home runs. I was like, hey, that's great.
The Dodgers have a home run leader. Way, yay! No, oh no, no. But the only other pitcher in Dodgers history to allow four home runs in an inning was Ben Wade on May 28, 1954. Speaking of Justin Brule, Wade was working on his third straight day of relief, and then he was brought in a game the Dodgers were losing 11-6 to the New York Giants at the Polo Grounds in the eighth, and then they tattooed him for four home runs. So Ben Wade only pitched that one inning, probably for good reason. No, also the game ended, but he's notable because he later became the Dodgers scouting director. So from like, he was a scout for a long time, then he was scouting director from like 1973 to 1990. So among other, like, Oral Hershiser mentioned him on the broadcast, because when Oral Hershiser got drafted, Ben Wade was the scouting director, the lead guy. He was also the scouting director when Mike Piazza was drafted as a favor to Tommy Lasorda. It was basically, I guess, depending on the stories that you read about that, it's, you know, they begrudgingly were like, okay, we'll draft this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, not like it was 62nd round or whatever, but yeah. So what's weird too about the Urias thing is, you know, anytime, like, we saw this happen with Andre Jackson, he allowed four home runs in a game. It was over two innings earlier in the year. And then they found that he was tipping pitches. So that's sort of always a concern when someone just gets lit up like that. So they were going to look into it. And then like the next day, this is in between this Thursday start and then Saturday when he went on the injured list. But basically Roberts was like, nope, he was just leaving the ball, like, ball right over the middle. Mark Pryor said the same thing there. He's just kind of been bad. Like, they didn't say it that way, but like, that's just how they were kind of saying it. So anyway, that's where they're at. But also in that 1954 game, when I was looking up, cause I wanted to see if like the newspapers mentioned it specifically about Wade, there wasn't a lot of stuff, but the day before that game, Duke Snider got his 1,000th career hit. That was a notable thing in the newspapers at the time. And Freddie Freeman is nearing his 2,000th hit. He's only 36 shy as time of recording this. He did get a milestone, another milestone in St. Louis. So he was heading into that game on Thursday. He was sitting on 299 home runs. On the homestand, on 299, he doubled off the wall twice, so very close to hitting a 300th home run, just missed. He also tripled off the wall in the fifth inning of that Thursday game in St. Louis, so he's just like near misses all the time. But then in the sixth inning against Genesis Cabrera, he allowed a grand slam, so that was his 300th home run. He's the 155th player ever with 300 home runs. He's only the fifth player to hit their 300th while with the Dodgers. I believe Sarah Langs noted that the only other MLB player to hit their 300th home run as a grand slam was Ruben Sierra. So yeah, the other thing is JD Martinez, if we're looking forward, he's at 6 home runs right now. He's at 288 in his career. So the Dodgers could have double 300 this year if he picks it up a little bit. So, but yeah, that's kind of it. That's where we're at. But I do have another sort of home run related fact for you here. So James Outman hit a grand slam on Wednesday against the Twins. That won the Dustin May game. So the game they were sort of scrambling, they ended up winning 7-3. That was his second grand slam this season. He also hit one April 20th at Wrigley Field. That was a ninth inning grand slam to break a tie. Before James Outman, who was the last Dodgers rookie to hit two grand slams in a season?
I don't know. But you know what? I have a way of making this not completely throwing out line names, and we'll reveal that after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18 plus. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Who was the last Dodger rookie to hit two grand slams in the same season? That's my guess.
My hint to you before you, is that this player won Rookie of the Year.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I was laughing because I was like, that was the question. No. Rookies cannot have to win that award. Okay. So I was going to turn this into clock game. I'm going to guess, and I'm going to only get three guesses, and you're going to tell me if the player won, and the rookie season was before or after my guess. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. Decide. If I want to, so the way to play clock game on Price Rate is correctly is to binary search. You pick a number that you think is in the middle of the ranges and then just do that. So try and decide if I want to do that or not. Let's start with Eric Karras.
Earlier.
Oh, no. Why are you doing this to me? Now I have to remember Dodger hitters who won Rookie of the Year. Did Frank Howard win Rookie of the Year?
He did in 1960 when he hit two grand slams.
Yeah!
Nice. I like how you went immediately to Frank Howard. I thought that was going to take a little bit. So in 1960, May 17th, his first home run of the season was against Bob Boole of the Milwaukee Braves. And then on July 28th against Jim O'Toole of the Reds, he also hit a grand slam. That was at Dodger Stadium. So
congrats. I'm looking at the possible. You know what? There are only Steve Sachs, Ted Sizemore, Lefebvre. There were only three hitting Rookie of the Years.
Jim Gilliam in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Well, Gilliam was before Howard. So Clock Game. Oh, no, you're right. Before. I didn't have that. I didn't have that standing. So I was assuming you were going to give me a Brooklyn player, but not really.
Could have done it. It only popped into my head as you were mentioning the Clock Game.
Yeah. And if you had thinking, said,
wait a minute.
I guess would have gone with Jackie and then tapped out. Those would have been my three. So cool. Yeah. If you had said later, I was not going to, maybe I would have eventually gone to the Sax, but I'm still tired. So maybe not.
Sure.
I don't think I was going to guess, Lefebvre. So, or Ted Sizemore. All right. Hey, I feel I'm cloud nine. That wasn't an easy, I thought you maybe you would, you know, go, man, he's going through some times right now. I'm going to give him a cookie. And no, you didn't. So
I think I did because you nailed it.
Oh, so fair enough.
I think that just in my head, that says time to go Zach Wheat next week. See what we can do.
All right. Well, we'll see how you fare because it's time for
With Jeans and Craig. We love them.
I almost just introduced all of these to the tune of I Love LA, but no one wants to hear me try and be on key because I won't be. I'm going to get you the first question and then I have to find my cheat sheet. I don't know where it went. And I don't know these things by heart. All right. Reportedly, Bobby Miller is making his MLB debut start this finish upcoming weekend. Lena, that was a way to say that sentence. Yeah. That start will almost be the 15th anniversary of Clayton Kershaw's Major League Baseball debut, which is on May 25th, 2008. So let's talk about the Dodger pitchers who made their first career appearance as a starter since Kershaw made his first start back in 2008. All right, you ready?
Sure.
There have been 19 pitchers who made their first career appearance as a Dodger starting pitcher since Kershaw's start in 2008. Who was the last pitcher to collect their first win on their debut?
So before I answer that, that reminded me of another note. So Kershaw, I mentioned, went four innings Tuesday and then 3 2/3 on Sunday. To give you an idea how rare that is, he's only had one other time when he went back-to-back starts without going more than four innings. And it was in 2008 when season. So like very odd. So 19 pitchers since Kershaw, who was the last one to collect a win in their major league debut? Jose De Leon.
Dead on. September 4th, 2016.
Nice. I don't remember if I was at that game or not. I think I was, but I just remember it. I remember because he won. I think he wore 87 because his birthday is August 7th. If I'm getting that right. Fun times. Anyway, sorry.
Kershaw has 7 strikeouts in his debut. 3 other pitchers had 7 strikeouts in their first start, and 1 had 9 strikeouts. Can Eric name these debut whiff masters?
9 strikeouts in the debut. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I actually think it was De Leon.
Yeah, I wanted to just say you might have been there.
Okay, so now it's about the 7.
So you need 3 names.
Sure. What about Kenta Maeda?
Nope.
Oh, wait. Oh, this is terrible. Okay. Since Kershaw, 2008, 7 strikeouts. Why can't I remember? Wait. Let's just go back for an old school. John Eli.
Nope.
I don't think he did 7. Okay.
John Eli was the, just so you know, the first person to make the debut after Kershaw.
Oh, okay. What about 2008? No, he was before. Okay.
I'll give you years if you want them.
I think I do.
All right. you have 2016, 2013, and 2011.
Oh boy. What about Nate Eovaldi?
On August 6, 2011, against Arizona.
And I have 13 and 16?
Yep.
Oh, there was another 16, huh?
Made an appearance against the Dodgers this week.
What? all right. Brock Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing well for Minnesota. Both Jose De Leon and Brock Stewart pitched in that series, by the way, with the Twins. And Kyle Farmer had like some good hits. So it was an old friend Palooza. So I don't remember I don't know the 13 one.
Matt McGill.
I almost went with Matt McGill. he got in the doghouse so fast. All right.
Hiroki Kuroda and Hyunjin Ryu are the two oldest pitchers who made their Major League Baseball debuts with the Dodgers since 2008. Can Eric name the next oldest pitcher on that list?
Okay.
I almost literally just read the answer right.
So it was funny. I was going to pick Hiroki Kuroda for the previous one, but he actually debuted before Kershaw because it was earlier in 2008. So that's he was on my mind earlier. Is that a way of me stalling? Yes. The next oldest pitcher. So, man, this is a starter.
Yes.
For that game, yeah.
I'm gonna triple checking for you.
So, okay, let's think about this. No.
Yes, starter.
All right.
I have my hint for you if you don't get it.
Let's think here. Oh man. I don't know. Remember how old he was? No, I don't think this is true. I'm just going to go back to Brock Stewart because I can't think of one.
Nope. My hint to you is I'm going to give you the other pitchers in this game for the Dodgers.
Oh God. Okay.
Brandon League. Paco Rodriguez, Brian Wilson, Jamie Wright, Kenley Jansen.
Okay, so this was 2012.
Double checking for you.
Ish. Yeah.
No, 2014.
14. Paco Rodriguez was still around in 14. Okay. 2014. Oh boy. Wait. No, he was the earlier year. Dang it.
Kind of give you one other hit. It was a good one.
I can't think
I double checked this I loaded this player's baseball ref. He has a career ERA plus of 197 with a sample size of this one game.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
And I also will, you know, if you had asked me, was this name ever a Dodger? I would have said, no, I don't know who that is.
Oh boy. Okay. So, man, I am flummoxed here. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
2000, Red Patterson.
There you go.
Nice. Yes.
Good on you.
His only game. I think that was in. Minnesota? I don't remember.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby Miller turned 24 in April. He will not be close to the youngest Dodger pitcher who made their debut since Kershaw debuted in 2008. Julio Urias was 19 and Kershaw was 20. Can Eric name the next three Dodger pitchers in age who made their debuts at age 21?
And this is 2008 on?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's go with Dustin May.
Yep.
Trying to think of. Oh boy. Yeah, this is tough. Was Nate Eovaldi 21?
Yep.
Okay. I might need the year on the last one.
2018. This is there's a wrinkle to this one.
Okay. Was it not a starter?
Or was it just this? It was. They started.
All right. 2018. Trying to remember that staff. Like, obviously, there's a lot of overlap, but like, my mind is absolute mush right now. So who would have come up that year? I don't think I have it. I'm tapping out.
Currently on the team. My last hint to you.
Currently on the team. Hold on.
All right. May no longer be a starter, and maybe was not a starter for very long.
I'm telling you, my brain is mush right now.
Okay, yeah, no, so this name, Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You did good.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, sure. I think Red Patterson by Julotta.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of credit there.
Yeah.
In 2021, the Dodgers had 30 pitchers who finished at least one game. In 2022, the Dodgers had 24. So far this season, 13 Dodger pitchers have finished a game. For the contest, name the number of pitchers who finish a game for the Dodgers at the All-Star break.
None, because there's no games during the All-Star break. Yay, we both win.
By the All-Star break, I'll editorialize.
All right. All right, so 13 now. We got about, I think it's like 37 games before then. Something like that. I don't remember. No, 41. Whatever it is. I'm going to say 18.
I was going to say 20. Here you go.
All right.
19 coming up.
Yeah, of course.
Since 2016, the most Grand Slam home runs the Dodgers have hit in one season is 11 in 2021. So far in 2023, the Dodgers have hit 6, including 2 each from Max Muncy and James Outman. For a second contest question. What? How many Grand Slams have the Dodgers hit in 2023?
Unprecedented. That's not really unprecedented. Okay, so you want to go first on this one?
20, no. and you'll say 18 will be... let's see. How about 9?
9 is a good number. They're currently at 6. And so Jacob, folks, is... basically saying the Dodgers are gonna just collapse.
Look, you can't hang Grand Slams if you know every batter's hitting home runs.
And so I'm gonna obviously go way higher and say 10.
Yep. Now we're gonna have 9, but then like one weird one where someone gets passed on the bases and
it'll be like the Cody Bellinger home run in Colorado, and then exactly.
The 2023 Oakland A's are off to their worst start in their 124 season history. At 10-38, no athletics team in Philly, Kansas City, or until this year, Oakland, has ever had such a poor record approaching the one-third mark of a season. Along with the ongoing move to Las Vegas, is there anything a loyal A's fan can grab onto this season about their team?
I think their best course of action in trying to find hope is like every single new report that comes out there. No, really, we have this other new land deal in Vegas that's binding.
Mm-hmm.
And then like every single time that falls through, and then like lawmakers from like in Nevada are like, we're not giving them this money. They're stupid. And then, so I think their best, it's going to be a painful process, but I think it gets to the point where, like the A's bungled this so badly that the owners just have to sell, because they're just like, we're not able to do this. And then someone swoops in and buys them and keeps them in Oakland somehow. I think that is the best way. I do enjoy the A's fans. I mean, it's an impossible situation, but they are doing their best at like basically telling the ownership group to F off. Like they bring signs to the games. I know the drum, they're not doing the drums, which is like a huge bummer. I forgot who tweeted this. I saw it the other day, but they referred to the Coliseum as the last dive bar in MLB. And like, that's like such a great description for it. Like kind of ratty stadium, but like really good vibes. Like the crowd there is awesome. So, like, yeah, it's rough, man. Like, I think their best bet is that the ownership decides to sell, and then they find someone to keep them in Oakland. But other than that, it is brutal.
Questions from Chris. All right,
the most important question, the food question. Do you prefer nuts roasted and eaten by themselves, or as an ingredient in some other food, like a salad, baked item, candy, or something else? I have a strong opinion on this.
You want to go first?
No, I don't want to spoil it.
So my first thing is almost never nuts in a salad. Like, that's no. The other thing is I don't like walnuts. Those are like the most common, or one of the most common nuts in salad. So I like just eating roasted or whatever kind of nuts, peanuts, almonds.
Not a nut. Nut.
Almonds not a nut, or peanuts?
No, peanuts not a nut.
All right, weirdo. Like, yeah. Pine. No. Wait. Is pistachio considered a nut? Then
I
no?
believe so. I believe it's a tree nut, but.
So, I would say that, but then I thought about it and like I'm counting peanuts, but like I'm gonna say in candy is also great. Like Mr. Goodbar's great.
Almonds aren't actually nuts. I lied.
Huh. Well, I'm counting it because I think that's the spirit of the question. But but yeah, Almond Joy though sucks. So like I get that. But yeah, I think if I had
pistachio is not a nut.
It's probably just eating almonds, peanuts, and pistachios by themselves.
But and I think these are botanical definitions. I think culinarily we can call them all.
Yeah,
nuts.
Yeah. I think this is nuts. Anyway, what's your strong opinion? Sorry.
I like almonds and pistachios, which apparently are nuts. This is what I get for trying to be pedantic on peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think I'm trying to think of anything I like with nuts in them other than just them on their own. There's something about I like their texture, but I never find it meshes with anything else. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with like marzipan, like when it's made into like a paste. Pesto or whatever, but I'm taking this question as maybe chopped a little bit, but still in its solid form.
What about Kung Pao chicken?
No.
You don't like the nuts in there?
I don't like Kung Pao chicken.
Just generally. Yeah. I get that. I also don't like nuts in, cookies or brownies for the most part, which is,
it's a candy bar, straight. So like, forbade.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sure there's an exception that I'm not thinking about. And back to if you modify it enough, I'm okay with like nut flavored ice cream, sure. But not in ice cream.
Yeah. I saw something the other day, Blue Bell, I believe, which is in Texas. They came out with a Dr. Pepper float. Ice cream, so like they infuse that flavor into ice cream. And me, as a connoisseur of Dr. Pepper, I think that's too far. Like, I would rather just put like vanilla ice cream.
Metro Dr. Sports Pepper. Bar and Grill immediately on the phone on how they can import this product.
That's right. But that said, I would obviously try it. So yeah, go everyone, go out there, get your giant bag of almonds, and if someone tells you a nut. Just smack them upside the head with the bag. And no, enjoy your nuts. Enjoy us being nuts. And we'll, go get some Dr. Pepper ice cream and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.